The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm always intrigued and wonderfully surprised and blessed when in other ways a text that I am working on takes on a life of its own. This happened again. I was watching TV the other day because it helps me that I don't have to concentrate when I do the my exercise on that little number that goes from and 30 to zero, and I think, how long is this going to take? Anyway, so I distract myself and flip through the channels at times. There was a special about Lionel Logue's grandson who had the opportunity to do some and study and go back and check in records and talk to some people who were involved in the work of his grandfather and some of those things. You might remember the story was portrayed in the movie The King's Speech. Lionel Logue was the therapist that was used by King George VI to begin to prepare for those times of in public speaking. At one point in the movie, the king complains about being a king. He said, I can't do anything on my own. I can't levy a tax, I can't raise an army, I can't form a government. All that I can do is do these speeches that everybody thinks that I'm speaking on behalf of them. Well, it was true. That's a large part of what he did, and certainly, as it turned out, he did it well. After just a few short years of relative peace, England and the rest of Europe would be thrown back into war a second time, and they needed to pull together. The other thing that happened is that I'm reading an article, and the title was "Everything I Needed to Know About Being a Lector I Learned in Third Grade." My thanks to Alan and to all of you who participate in that particular task of reading the text. It's important work. But he was reminding us of what it's like to have a really good reader. For him, it was in third grade when his teacher was reading the class Bambi and the friends of Bambi. For me, it was in fifth grade. Ralph Woods was the teacher. I do not remember the name of the book. I do remember that there was a character in there named Bill Shakespeare, and that this all took place in a spaceship that went off to one of the moons of Mars, and Deimos or Phobos or wherever it was. I remember that. But for 15 or 20 minutes, an entire class of fifth graders would sit in absolute silence, watching as one guy read this story, and we were all just thrilled. We wanted to know what was going to happen next. And on very special days, he would finish a chapter, look up at the clock, and say, "Well, maybe we have time for one more." When Jesus came into Nazareth, it's not surprising that he went to the synagogue, as Luke says, as was his custom. And chances are that others were expecting him to go, and they might think, "Well, let's see, he'll probably get a chance to read. Let's see and see what he says." And this routine work of worship was once again theirs, where they think they know what's going to happen. I'm pretty sure that if we were to, in some way, come through the congregation and grab all of your bulletins, you'd be just fine. You'd know what was coming next and what happens here and what we need to say and responses and all of those things, because we do it over and over again. But there was something different about this. When Jesus read, he said this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And I want to ask, where? Was there someone who was blind who suddenly received their sight and got up and walked out of the synagogue? Were there poor there who suddenly had some news given to them that they wouldn't be quite as poor as they were poor when they came in? Were there oppressed there who went free? Were there captives who had received their release? None of that is seen here. But what he says is that this has been fulfilled in your hearing. You know, there are times that the experience of hearing words change us. While those people in Nazareth might have gone just expecting to hear and something read from in Scripture, when Jesus did it, it got right into their heart. And he does not say, "Well, I just reread this again from an old text." It was new. It was as if they heard it for themselves, that the promises of God that had been given in the day of Isaiah was now being reestablished and given to them as listeners in that synagogue, that what Isaiah said to people long ago was now theirs to take home in great hope. Good speeches are like that. We live in a world where there's all kinds of speech, and in this particular season, it seems to be a little bit of yelling and screaming, too. But good speech is different. It gives us good news, true good news, that happens to us. and it changes us. The famous speech from Henry V on St. Crispin's Day, the Band of and Brothers speech, is a classic. It turns out that Laurence Olivier read that in a radio production during World War II. Winston Churchill was so impressed that he went and asked Olivier to produce the entire production. And that's where the film and version of Henry V from 1944 comes. Churchill himself also had some things that rallied a nation together. And indeed, King George VI also continued to do in speeches that literally, while their world is falling down around them through the Battle of Britain, they pulled together. They did not lose heart. The captives had been set free from their fear, and there was good news preached to those who were losing and losing and losing that there would be a better day, a year of the Lord. It happened in Nehemiah and Ezra's day. The word was written, an old word that had been heard before, but this time the entire people gather together and they understand the joy of the Lord is their strength. There have been others. Lincoln, of course, in many of his speeches, were able, even after a disastrous and terrible civil war, in his second inaugural, was able to pull a nation back together and to begin the work of healing. Newt Rockne, of course, has one of those famous speeches that is known as, the Gipper speech or whatever you want to say. But what I really want to know is what was said in the Seahawks locker room at halftime. I can't imagine there's anything new that was said there. What are you going to say that hasn't already been said? But when they heard that, something happened, and they began to reform themselves and look like the Seahawks that we all know and love. Just this last week, we celebrated and Martin Luther King Day. He, too, was one who, with his words, could bring people together and give them hope for a new and better day. Those words had been fulfilled in the hearing of those who came to hear. I'm happy to say, and this is not terribly surprising, but the call committee has understood this as well. In their work, they have specifically said, we want someone who preaches well. Now, as a preacher, I keep on asking myself, what does that mean? But the fact is, you know it when you hear it. You know when you have had God speak to you in some direct way, even through old, and perhaps a little on the stale side, or words that have been pronounced before, but you know when it's the right time, when this is the day to proclaim, as it were, the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus Christ came not just to preach or read, but to work in their hearts. Their eyes were fixed on him. And the fulfillment of all that God had intended to do is found in himself. Today, these words have been fulfilled in your hearing. Amen.